you have your Bibles with you, turning with me this morning to Matthew chapter 24. I'm just going to read with a couple portions of Scripture here, two verses of Scripture. And I hope you're reading your Bibles, and I hope you bring your Bibles to church. Amen. Amen. Let me see if I have any $100 to give away for everybody that brought their Bibles. Oh, nothing. Not even taco money. Spend it all on Friday night. Amen. Amen. If you have it, would you say amen? We'll wait till it gets on the screen. There you go. But he that endureth until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in some of the world for all the world. Somebody say all. ¿Cómo se dice all in español? Oh, yeah, todo. Kind of like when you order tacos. You say, oh, quiero todo. I want it all. Amen. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. The CEV version says, but if you keep on being faithful right to the end, you'll be saved. When the good news about the kingdom has been preached all over the world and told to all nations, the end will come. I want to talk to you this morning on this thought. Keep your seatbelt fastened. Keep your seatbelt fastened. Keep your seatbelt fastened. Somebody say yeah. Amen. Tell your neighbor, tell him keep your seatbelts fastened. Keep your seatbelt fastened. Tell him. Don't be afraid of him. Tell him. Wear your seatbelt, your spiritual seatbelt. Keep it fastened. Amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Endure. Endure means to remain. It means to bear trials. It means to have fortitude. It means to persevere. So Gonzalez, it means to abide. Jesus said, abide in me, for without me you can do nothing. Endure means to be patient. Yeah. I'll just give you a little words of wisdom. Probably not the best idea to pray for patience. But if you ever have, you've probably appreciate that the Lord answers prayers. Amen. Anybody ever been on a roller coaster? A real roller coaster? Great America, Disneyland, Magic Mountain? And, ever go on maybe a go-kart or some sort of sport utility vehicle, off-roading, maybe? Hey. Out with Brother Dorazic and his Jeep, or you've gotten one of those side-by-sides and drove around in it. And we know about roller coasters. And in preparing for this message, I did some research, as I should have. And I didn't realize that things have changed that much as I aged about roller coasters. You see, Sister Rodriguez, when we were in the youth group, they were just all called roller coasters, you know. But now they have different categories of roller coasters. And so the ones that I was used to riding they're now called thrill rides, THRILL rides. And so that was intriguing. So I began to do more research, and I just looked at a couple roller coasters that are nearby in Santa Clarita, Valencia, at Magic Mountain, and they have a roller coaster called the Apocalypse. It's an all-wooden roller coaster. Well, it's going to burn up for sure. Amen. And then they have one called the Batman. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Right? They have the Batman. It's an upside-down experience. Then there's the Goliath. Anybody ever ride the Goliath at Magic Mountain? Let me see. Let me stand up if you've ridden a Goliath. Come on. You have proof? You got proof? God bless you. You're just seated. But this Goliath roller coaster is so fast that they call this metal monster a hyper coaster with a top speed of 85 miles per hour and an elevation of 281 feet. Somebody get me a water, please. Now notice this. Now I have proof. This, thank you, Brother Parra. This is the same roller coaster. Look at that. Somebody get the lights up here. This is the same roller coaster that I went on when I was younger and Sister Pinero and I were engaged. Praise on the Mountain, 2002. Look at that dude with the shades on. Look at, he's there. And before that picture, she was trying to hold my hand. But we were engaged, Brother Carlos. It was okay. So she was holding my hand before. But they took our picture. Can you believe it? But it says Goliath on there. I was on that roller coaster. Thank you, Sister Violet and the AV team. And all these roller coasters, they strap you in. You either have a safety harness or a seat belt or a big metal thing that comes in front of you, and they have requirements to get on these. You either have a height or an age or some, I don't know, for some reason have a weight limit, and there's safety harnesses, and you may need a partner because you need someone, you know, if you're riding with her, she's going to get scared. So you tell her, you just hold my hand till we get off, and you got to have a ticket, and you got to pay admission, and you endure the rules and the regulation, and you stand in line. And it's hot and it's crowded and people are watching you look all good when you get on, and when you get off, you just look crazy, and your that funnel cake wasn't a good idea after you get off that bad boy at 85 miles an hour. You thought your wife drove crazy, and you're like, wow, this roller coaster upside down and in and out, and people pay to do this, and they get passes year round, and they do it over and over and over again, and they like it. We call them crazy. Adrenaline junkies. I just like to refer to them as young people that just want to have fun. But others stand and spectate, and some take pictures and point. And as I did more research on this, Brother Will, I came across a ride at Six Flags Magic Mountain, and it's called the Dive Devil. And I'm reading this, I quote from here, and it says, notice this description, you'll stare straight down as you're hoisted up by a slim cable until you're so high you only hear the wind as you dangle 15 stories in the air. There's no turning back now. The only way to get down is to fall. In a split second, you are released and plummeting back towards the earth in a state of total free fall. You can plan on hurtling toward the ground as fast as 60 miles per hour. And you know, people get on that ride and they warn people about, hey, get on that ride, don't have nothing in your pockets, give her somebody else your purse, and make sure you have your phone in your front pocket, and never have I gone to the ride operator as I'm going to get on this on a ride back in the old days and say, well, how much training do you have to operate this ride? I've never asked to see the inspection log of the maintenance of the ride, and never have I asked if it's okay or acceptable to ride the ride and take off my seatbelt. I read the requirements, I assess the risk, I see people get on, some are sick, some are smiling, others go back, and I determine for myself, this is worth doing, and we do it, and we get strapped in and we get secured and we fasten our seatbelt in, and we do it on airplanes with all the comforts of the airplane, and we wear the seatbelt. In fact, if you've ever been on a roller coaster, you know that it's going to be bumpy, and especially a wooden one, and it's going to go get twisted and go fast and slow down and climb up and speed down, and they'll take your picture, and they don't tell you when they're going to take your picture. They just take your picture, and yes, thank the Lord that I'm the only one with that picture, and it's old school picture, and we have to search for it. But we do that, and we keep all this. We go through all this with our seatbelt fastened, and we keep our seatbelt fastened until the ride comes to a complete stop. Listen, I just in case somebody needs a reminder this morning, we need to keep our spiritual seatbelts on, because Jesus is coming back very soon. The Bible says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, as we just blink right now, that's as fast as it can happen. And I'm not looking to get rich or to get skinnier or looking for ways to avoid trials and tribulations. I am looking for Jesus to come back for a people that are ready to meet him when he returns. And I want to be ready. I need you to be ready. But until he comes back, we've got to make sure we keep our seatbelt fastened spiritually. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. There's a lot of things taking place. It's going to get windy, bumpy. Things are going to close in. But be not afraid. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. And in our scripture text this morning, Jesus was asked the questions by his disciples while he sat. In fact, he was there at the exact place that Zechariah the prophet years before had prophesied that he would come, and where he will come and establish his kingdom again in Zechariah 14 and 4. And so this is a fitting place for Jesus' disciples to ask when he would come to power and what they could expect. And so Zechariah 4 and 14 says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives." But we get to our scripture setting, and the question was asked by his disciples in Matthew 24 and 3. And it says, "And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him, and they asked him, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus begins to emphasize the events that would take place before the end of the age. And notice what he tells them and tells us today in Matthew 24 and 6. He says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." Now, we just woke up this morning to some terrible news about Afghanistan this morning, but we're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. And he goes on to say, "See that ye not be troubled, for some of these things must come to pass." For all these, somebody say all. All these things must come to pass. Notice this. In the New Living Translation, it says, "You're going to hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic."
Right.
Don't be troubled. Don't panic. When you look at that word troubled there in Matthew 24 and 6, it says it means to be frightened or anxious. In fact, the definition of trouble means to disturb, notice this, to disturb the mental calm and contentment. That's why we need to take heed to what the scripture says in Romans chapter 12. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind."
Yeah.
Our mind is a battleground. It's one of the hardest things to keep under control is the mind. You can, things go in your ears and you hear it and you dwell on it. It goes in your mind, and before you know it, it begins to affect your heart, your actions, your behaviors. But that we got to understand that Jesus says that don't panic. These things must take place. And it goes on in verse 7, it says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences I'll talk about that in a moment, and earthquakes in diverse places. And when you begin to look at that word, nation shall rise against nation, and begin to break it down in the Greek, it's a word called ethnos, or where we would begin to understand the word ethnic. It's where that would begin to understand and formulate in our vocabulary. It's races and heathen nations and people and tribes. And racism is wrong. I just want to go on record and say that it's wrong. It has always been wrong, and it'll always be wrong. And let me just go on and remember that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the human race. And we all bleed blood, we all breathe oxygen, and he died for one, and he died for all. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we've seen the rise of people against people, and nations against nations. We're seeing that at an exponential rate right now. We've got different, I'm not going to get into that because some of you think I'm being political, but we've got all kinds of nonsense taking place. And in the meanwhile, there's people that are starving, that are dying, that are going to bed hungry, that are lost without God. They need Jesus, and there's distress. And we're over here arguing and fighting about things that really don't even matter. Saints of God, there's a heaven that is waiting for us, but there's also a hell that is waiting for people that aren't going to heed the word of God. But we got to keep our spiritual seatbelt fastened. We're seeing things in social groups and politics, and Jesus goes on to say kingdom against kingdom. The devil's kingdom against the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus told his disciples that this was going to happen, to expect it. This is what's going to have to take place. And we begin to see the formulation of this in the book of Genesis with Adam and Eve, with the serpent deceiving Eve. And there was a conflicting voice. And there's always been conflicting voices. There will always be conflicting voices. But the word of God is tried and proven. It's true. It's infallible. It is anointed. It is the bread of life. But Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, he says in verse 4, Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. And then he goes on to tell us that there will be pestilences. Notice it's with an S. And so that means that there will be more than one. And we've read and heard about pestilences. Most of us, when we were in high school, we began to learn and in college. But up until maybe the last 10 years, that was something that was, you know, we associated that with Egypt, with the plagues that were in Egypt. But we have seen over the last 10 years, an exponential growth of pestilences and what we would understand today to be pandemics. And notice this, a pestilence is a deadly, this is the definition, a deadly or virulent epidemic. Disease, notice this. This is the definition, something that is considered harmful, destructive, or evil. We refer to this as pandemics and postmodernism. But let me just I'm building a foundation here for a moment. Let me just name a few just to refresh our memory that we've gone through some of these things before, and the Lord has prevented many of us from having to be exposed to some of these things. But Ebola, or the H1N1 back in 2009, or over 100 years ago, the Spanish flu, which was about a two to three year situation, or SARS of 2003. And the Lord, the scripture tells us that these things were going to happen, are going to happen at the end of the age. He begins to share that with us. It's the signs of the end. And in Matthew 28 and 24 and 8, it says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. That's what he's telling us. And we know about earthquakes. I don't need to qualify that. We live in California. But let's just talk about famines and droughts. We're hearing about droughts here in California, other parts of the country. But the World Health Organization, data that I pulled up from 2018 from the WHO, tells us that 1 in 9 people are hungry, or there's distress of nutrients every single day. And Jesus has told us that these things were going to happen. Rather, he goes to tell us in the New Living Translation, if you're taking notes, he says, but this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 21 and verse 25, notice this. And he says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distresses of nations with perplexity. And notice this, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after these things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you that our Bible has been telling us this all along. There's nothing to worry about. Don't freak out. Don't pull all your hair out. Maybe just pull out some when you're combing your hair. But notice this, what Jesus tells us when these things begin to take place in verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I want to be encouraging you. I want to encourage you here this morning. You need to get ready, stay ready, and live ready. But if there's ever been a time for an apostolic Pentecostal, for a Christian, for a believer to live for God, it is now. If there's ever been a time to get saved, stay saved, live saved, and get in the church, it is now. If there's ever been a time to get your spiritual seatbelt on and to keep it on and say, you know what, come hell or high water, I'm not unbuckling this seatbelt. If I got to go outside, I got to stay on Zoom, Facebook Live, we got to go offline. We're going to have church. We're going to see God heal, deliver, forgive people, and heal them. In Jesus' name. Somebody say it is now. It's now. The church is not going down. The church is actually going up. The church of the living God has always prevailed. And the church of the living God will continue to prevail. The people that he saved and redeemed with his blood should not be fearful or panic. You be smart. You make good decisions. But can I tell you, the scripture is alive and well today. It's been telling us this for years. And I'll be the first to tell you, I would read this most of my life and say, well, yeah, I could see that in the history books. But Brother Robert, for the first time, we're seeing some of these things take place in the last 18 months at an exponential rate. If there was ever any doubt in your mind about some of the things of prophecy, you've had that clarified and cleared up for you. It's time to keep your spiritual seatbelt fastened. Colossians 3 and 2 tells us, set your affections on things above, not on the earth. Right. We should be in constant contact with Jesus. We got to be about our Father's business. Amen. We got to share the gospel and our testimony with those that will listen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Notice this, Matthew 24, 13 and 14. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel, the good news of the kingdom, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. My goodness, I've never preached to so many people in all my life that like I have in the last 2 years with social media. To God be the glory. Folks, people are looking for something that is real. They're tired. They're tired of hypocrisy. They're tired of being lied to. They're tired of being fooled and dupe. They're tired of broken promises. They're tired of the alcohol, of the drugs, of the illicit relationship. They're tired of broken marriages. They're tired of depression. And guess what? I'm tired. I'm tired of religion. I'm sick and tired of religion. People need, and we got to have a relationship with Jesus, because there's coming a day when the trump of the Lord shall sound. Time shall be no more, and we will be caught up in heaven with the Lord. People are more willing to engage in conversation about Jesus than ever before. I probably have had 20 people since May ask me about my car, and I don't let them get away that easy. In fact, I got so bold the other day, came out of the store, and this man comes walking, coming towards me, and he's like, excuse me, sir, and I'm dressed, you know, except without a tie, no sport coat on that day. But I said, let me guess, you want to ask me about my car or about Jesus? he's all about your car. Let me tell you, we were sitting somewhere the other night, Thursday night. Somebody was eavesdropping on our conversation. Before you know it, he knew where we were. I made sure we're here, corner of Clark and Broadway. I'm the pastor, and I told him, you're welcome to come and see me. We got it. We're Pentecostals. There's no snake handling here, but we do have a Hammond B3 organ. Come and see us. Can I tell you? Because people are looking, and they're hungry, and they're ready. It's not just for the backslider or the prodigal, but it's for all those that he has called. He's calling his people. Life on its own is rough. Imagine going through life without Jesus. Imagine going through what you're going through without the power of the Holy Ghost, without the love of God, without prayer. We've got tough times ahead, but the Bible's told us to expect that. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, a powerful Bible verse. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden, somebody say sudden, destruction cometh upon him, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. I'm trying to encourage us today that trouble don't last always. Tough times don't always last. But what will be, will be. And that means that the people that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. Yeah. The enemy of your soul and the Antichrist is going to try to wear out the saints. Yeah. But we've got scripture after scripture after scripture that says, amen, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap in due season if you faint not. Scripture after scripture, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's not time to run for the hills, but rather it's time to look to the hills. As the psalmist says, he tells us, I look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh. Notice what it says. My help cometh from the Lord. Somebody needs to recognize all over again that your help comes from the Lord. We're not just a people looking for victory. We are a victorious people. We always have been, and we will continue to be. We're not. Listen, the church's position for whatever is ahead, and hopefully your position for whatever is ahead. Hopefully you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, let us know. We'll get you a Bible. Brother Ronnie, raise your hand. Stand up, raise your hand. Ellen, stand up, raise your hand. If you don't have a Bible, you tell them, I don't have a Bible and I need a Bible before the week's up. We'll get you a Bible. God bless you. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, you need to get baptized in Jesus' name. If you haven't repented of your sins, you need to repent of your sins. If you need a Bible study, I want all the Bible study ninjas to stand up. Come on, if you're a Bible study ninja, stand up. Come on, there's a whole bunch of you. Stand up. Sister Panero, stand up. Come on, Sister, there you go. If you, Rupi, stand up. Juliana, stand up. All the Bible study, you went through the classes, stand up. If you've been trained, certified to teach a Bible study, come on. There's plenty of people here wanting to give you a Bible study to teach you what the Bible says. God bless you. But we're going to endure. The church is equipped not only for revival, but the church is equipped to see the gifts of the Spirit, miracles, signs and wonders, people delivered, and the blessings and the favor of God like never before. We are not going to compromise. No way. Sin is still sin. Adultery is still sin. Abortion is still sin. Lying and gossiping is still sin. But we got to remember, such were some of you. That's who we used to be. But he loved us and he forgave us. And why were we yet sinners? He died for us. Come on, somebody. We got to remember who we used to be. But thanks be to God, we're redeemed today. We've reached a time where where sin is paraded and sin is glamorized and sin has even been legalized. The devil is a liar. If it was an abomination in the scripture, it will be an abomination until Jesus comes back. The devil is a liar, always has been a liar. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And his word tells us in John 17:17, thy word is truth. The word of God is the ultimate law. It's the ultimate law. Sometime back, I got called for my civil duty. 3 weeks of it. And as I was there every day that they had to go, they were doing the voir dire, or they call the jury selection. So 3 weeks going every I don't know, 3 or 4 days to see if you were selected to be on this jury. And they would ask questions, and finally, they realized after a couple questions they were asking me, we definitely, I could see the conversations and what was going on, and like, oh, they don't want this dude, you don't want that dude on the jury. You know, some of you don't know my background, maybe somebody will share it with you, but they asked me a question. They said, Reverend, which law is higher? I was like, I saw that softball coming. I was like, oh yeah, about to be a Babe Ruth right here, you know? No Barry Bonds, no supplements, just all Babe Ruth all the way. I said, oh. He said, God's law or man's law? God's law. All the way, baby. It's Jesus everything. All the time. For without him, I can do nothing. But with him, all things are possible. It's still the plan of salvation. It's still repentance and baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. My favorite Bible verse still is Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We got to keep our spiritual seatbelt fastened. We're not backing up. Don't you dare back up on your holiness of lifestyle. We can't afford to cut corners or take shortcuts with your relationship with God. No robbing God. There should be no God thieves in the church. We can't be robbing God of time, talent, finances. There ought not be no quit in you, no backslidden mindset. Don't hold on to offense or grudges, but rather do what the scripture says. 1 Peter 5:7, to cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We ought not to be living in fear or panic. I preached a message probably over a year ago now about you can't stop the church. You need to go back and listen or watch that. But don't give room. Listen to pastor. Listen to pastor. Don't give room for the spirit of fear or panic. Don't give room for the mindsets of spirit of fear or panic. And don't give room to people that are associated with the spirit of fear or panic. Come on, somebody. Someone needs to go home and start dealing with that spirit of fear and panic, and say, well, now you sleeping in the garage. You come in the house thinking and talking like that. Some of you need to go home and open the door and say, fear, and I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You don't belong in here. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Come on, somebody. My help comes from the Lord. Notice this. In order for all these things to take place, Before a final end can come to the whole world, a worldwide mission must precede it.
Yeah.
That means that before there's worldwide judgment, there's got to be a worldwide mission fulfilled.
Yeah.
Where people get in love with seeking first the kingdom of God. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying keep your seatbelts fastened. Because God is looking to use the church, which is the people, to reach those that are going to be saved and delivered and forgiven and set free. He's looking for some spiritual midwives. That's what he's looking for. Looking for some spiritual midwives, some spiritual nurses. The church is the bride. He's coming back for a church without spot or blemish. But we identify the church as the mother, right? We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are the body of Christ. And he's gonna need us to be the hands and the feet to help these folks that need to be given Bible studies, that need to be loved. That need to know that they have a that there are not all people that go to church are crazy. They're just some. And they need to know that it's about relationship with the Lord. They need to know that he forgives sins and he died for people and he loves people, and he's gonna bring the prodigals back, which we're seeing even today, this morning again. The Lord is confirming his word again to us today. But we've been working overtime, and we've been getting people ready, positioned, training. We've been training like never before because the kingdoms are about to collide again. It's gonna be the clash of kingdoms, but the kingdom of God will prevail, as it always has, and it will continue to prevail.
Amen.
So keep your seatbelts fastened.
Amen.
Notice this, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be faithful, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Get ready for liftoff.
Amen.
You know, the church has always thrived under pressure.
Yeah.
Many of you, when you remember in college or high school, mostly college, that there's those folks that, man, when the closer it got to the finals, the more they procrastinated, but the better they did. Anybody live like that? Right? Hey, the church has always grown under pressure. Remember that Exodus, the Hebrew women were more livelier than the Egyptian women. The church saw it with issues there in Exodus, with the children of God. The church saw it in Acts chapter, in the 28 chapters of the book of Acts. And let me just kind of give you just a refresher. You remember in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4, they go together. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going to the temple at the hour of prayer. They encounter a man that was lame from most of his life, or all his life actually. He was, 38 years old or 40 years old, he was young, and he obviously was looking for something. And Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none; such as I have, given thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he's healed, and they were arrested because somebody was healed. Well, they're thrown into jail. But look at the result of the healing and the persecution. Look what took place in Acts chapter 4 and 4. It tells us that many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Then again, we see the church being blessed and the people being saved while under pressure. Now, this is, how many know that we are a Pentecostal church?
Amen.
Some of you know that? We're a Pentecostal church, right? Our beginning is the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. That's our beginning. This is our spiritual ancestors. Okay? And one of the first ones to be martyred or stoned to death, he wasn't doing something else, was in Acts 7 and 59, he was stoned. But the people were scattered because he was stoned to death. And while he was being stoned to death, he's praying for them and telling Lord, they don't know what they're doing, forgive them, basically is what he's saying. And the church, the believers, the Christians were scattered. And notice what happens in Acts chapter 8. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere crying about what took place. Then they went preaching the word. So they were scattered, but they went preaching the word. And then Philip, the evangelist, he's an evangelist, went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Notice this. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles that they did. Notice this. There were unclean spirits crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed. Many were taken with palsies, and they were lame. They were healed. But notice this. And there was great joy in that city, because somebody filled with the Spirit said, we may be scattered. We may be going through some things we've never gone through before that we've only read about. But I'm going ready, locked, and loaded to share the good news of Jesus. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. I'm so glad that the promises of God are still yes and amen. I'm so glad that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, but I'm more glad. I'm above my out of excitement that the Lord still loves and forgives his people in the year 2021. So the musicians begin to come. What we are seeing and experiencing right now in our world are the birth pains. Is the enemy losing his grip? But the church is moving forward.
Amen.
You and I have got to remember, we need to move forward in prayer, in revival, in faithfulness, and in fellowship. Sin may be paraded. Trust in humanity may be at all-time low. Disunity and deception is apparent. Daniel tells us in Daniel 11 and 32, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits, because you know whose you are. I belong to Jesus. I'm a child of the Most High God. As we stand this morning, the blood of Jesus has never lost its power.
No, it hasn't.
Never lost its power. He has never lost a battle.
That's right.
There are things that we don't know that he knows that he'll deal with and he'll take care of. But it's up to us to keep our spiritual seatbelt fastened. Notice this. If the Spirit of the Lord is in you, how many of you have got the Holy Ghost? Raise your hand. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got the power of the living God in you. There is nothing that you can't do by the grace of God, that he'll strengthen you. He'll lead and guide you to all truth. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to live in the Spirit. We need to have the fruit of the Spirit. And we got to keep our spiritual seatbelt fastened. You're not of this world.
Amen.
Dios es su esperanza. He is your hope. He is the hope of the world. He is my hope. We're just passing through. These are perilous times, but perilous times call for apostolic Pentecostal revival. Perilous times call for the people of the name to stand for righteousness and see God do great and incredible things.
Amen.
I close with this, 1 John 4 and 4. ye are of God.
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, you're of God. See, you finally admitted that, right? And have overcome them. Because greater is he that's in you. He that is in the world. That's who you are. He's called you out of darkness. The church is equipped, positioned, prepared, anointed, and called for such a time as this. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things.